To be able to come and spend time hearing your word, learning your word. And we pray, Father, that as we leave this place, that we will leave being the light that you have called us to be out in this dark world. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for everyone here. And we pray for the youth that'll be next door and the youth that's here, Lord, that they will be filled with your spirit so that they can be the next generation to come up and share your word. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Tyson. I'm one of the youth leaders with Gary, and we kind of share the role over there. And so a little story about me. I grew up here in Lakeside, and then I had the opportunity to travel around, so I did attend Blue Ridge High School. And there's usually some classmates of mine here and some of my old teachers, and I was really one of the most outstanding students at school. I won a lot of awards. I did. And they say it was because I spent most of my time outstanding in the hallway. But I earned those awards. Those were not participation trophies, okay? But no, so I wasn't always a good student. I barely graduated, really. I think I had barely like a 2.0 because they said that's what you needed to graduate, so that's all I achieved for. My standards weren't very high, but we had some really good teachers at Blue Ridge and in the community here, and we had an opportunity to learn Bible doctrine. And so one thing that I did learn here from the teachers was that I did get to learn the Word of God. And so my wife and I, as we've been traveling around, we've lived all over the country. We had an opportunity to come back here and raise our kids here. And so we're back spending time with you guys. And so I just thank you for having me today. And I encourage everyone, we encourage the young kids, if you ever have an opportunity to leave and kind of travel and get out there in the world and see other things, it's a great opportunity to leave your hometown. And then it was a great opportunity to come back because it's a great place to raise kids. So my wife, we've been able to live in Arizona. We've been able to live in California, Hawaii. And one of my most favorite places I ever got to live was the great state of Alaska. It was just an amazing place. And through our travels and through the study of the Bible, my family and I had an awesome opportunity to see things come to life. The Bible really come to life like a picture book. And that was in when we lived in Alaska, we saw things that I never really ever got to experience before. And it was kind of like when I was a kid, we had at the library, our librarians would read to us. They would open up these books and these picture books, and they would read these stories to us, and it would really come to life. It was really before the internet and the Google and Netflix and everything. And we would, they would tell a story or read us a story, and it really made me, my imagination flow of that story, and that's kind of how Alaska was for us. So I want to share an experience with you guys that we had while we lived there. And as we share the Word of God and teach the youth next door, we really try to encourage them. What is God teaching us in the Word? What is He trying to convey? What is He trying to teach us and share with us when He uses specific people, specific places, maybe specific animals? What is He trying to teach us? What do we really need to learn from all that? And through the message, I hope that it helps you really bring the Scriptures to life, kind of like when we were kids, going back to that time when we were little kids learning from the librarian and reading stories. So I hope that kind of touches you today as we spend time seeking the Bible today. So when you study the Word and you open the Scriptures, we really got to take a few minutes to really meditate on the Word of God. That is so important, meditating. Really seeing what our study is while we're studying and how to understand the Word, how to really grab what God's teaching us. And I've been able lately to be blessed by Pastor Tony and our other pastor, Phil and Zeke over at Calvary Chapel that we attended when we lived in California. And I've been able to really spend time with them one-on-one, just closed doors, just us, the Bible, and just really the pastors pouring their knowledge of God into me. And it's been amazing because it's really helped my walk with Christ. It's really helped my walk with my family. And I hope and I encourage that you guys can spend time really dissecting the Word, really spending time seeing what God has to say to you. And it started for me when we were in Alaska, and they had these New Year's resolutions. Everything was this New Year's resolution, and it goes on, right? The first of the year, you always hear about, what's your New Year's resolution going to be? What are you going to do different this year than you did last year? What are you going to change this year over last year? What are you going to do to better improve yourself and how these resolutions can have these positive changes? But the problem is that 90 to 95% of all the New Year's resolutions, they fail for people. It fails. And there's reasons why. I actually Googled it. Why do New Year's resolutions fail? And hundreds of thousands of articles came up on why they fail. And for years, I always wanted to get back into shape. I always was like, man, I love football. You know, Buzz, he's done a great job maintaining his high school weight. And I'm really jealous of that, because I'm definitely not anywhere near that. But he looks great, right? And so I always thought, well, if I could get back into this in shape, man, I'd get back in feeling good and weight training. And I would take pictures of myself, right? They say, do your measurements, weigh yourself. My wife's like, are you really going to spend more money? We do this every year. I'm like, honey, this is the year. I'm going to do it. I said, okay, now take these pictures. And she's like, oh, I don't want to take pictures of you. So what I realized is I never got back in shape, and all I have is this really great collage of me just getting fatter and fatter, okay? And it's embarrassing, and that's why I'm envious of Buzz, because he did it, and one day he's going to help me get back there. But for years, I thought something was missing, and I thought that, wait a minute, why am I looking for this resolution? I didn't need a resolution. What I really needed was I needed a renewal. I needed the Spirit of God to renew me is what I really needed. And we moved to Alaska, and we were able to see the most amazing things that I've ever seen in my life. We saw spectacular events. We got to see the Aurora Borealis. If you've never seen that, it's amazing. Life-changing events. We got to see animals, moose, wildlife like I've never seen before. Things I only ever read about and things I only got to see on documentaries. And when I saw my first grizzly bear, I was like, oh my gosh, this thing's amazing. And there was this old gentleman, probably about the age of Frank. So I'm not sure how old that is, but he was old. And the only thing that came through my mind when I saw this grizzly bear was he says, you know, son, anything, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. He said, except bears. Bears will kill you. So the whole time looking at this grizzly bear, I was like, that thing kept coming back to me. And we got to see things that were just absolutely spectacular. And the one thing that really stood out to me was the salmon run. The salmon run in Alaska is amazing. These salmon, they spawn up river, they have little baby salmon, and then they flow out these rivers for thousands of miles. They circumnavigate the entire globe, and then they come back to the exact same river that they were born in, that they were hatched in. Circumnavigate the entire globe in the ocean. Scientists say that they circumnavigate because they use the magnetic fields of the earth to do that. And I was just blown away by that, and I was like, wow, how the heck can that happen? And it's really unexplainable, but it's not unexplainable for God, because he created all that. He holds the span of the universe in his hand. The mountains in Alaska were so vast. If you ever get a chance to go up there, I'd encourage it to see. They call it Mount Denali, Mount McKinley. But the peaks are so amazing. They rise over 20,000, like 300 feet. And so it's the tallest mountain in the United States. And then when I went to go visit that my first time, I was like, it doesn't end. You could never see the other end of the mountains. Like here, you see kind of these hills, and they don't look very big. But Mount Denali covers 6,045,153 acres. So Mount Denali is as big as the entire state of New Hampshire. That's how amazing it is. And there's glaciers. Glaciers so massive that you don't know if they're mountains or if they're ice. And there's a glacier in Juneau. It's a tidewater glacier, and it's got its name, and it's known for being one of the thickest glaciers in the world. It's 4,500 feet thick. And even though we're being told global warming is going to come and it's all going to melt, we're all going to die, right? Those glaciers are still there. The national parks, I believe they said there's still over 27,000 glaciers in Alaska today, still active, still there. But the one thing that amazed me the most, and really started my renewal with God and really getting back in the scriptures, and I taught this at the men's study once, was the Alaskan bald eagle. We got to study that. We would go to the zoo, and the zoo was amazing, and we got to meet the zookeepers and all the scientists and stuff. And so we started really studying the eagle as I was doing my study in Isaiah. And it really started to renew me. It really started to renew my soul. And just like the struggles in our life, right, that we have are real, that we go through every day, I was like, man, I really don't want a resolution. I want to find out, God, what do you have for me? And a renewal is really what God had for me that day. And I remember it. I still remember it, just like that picture book, just like the librarian reading to us. And We find that in Isaiah 40, 31. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in Isaiah 40. We're going to go through the whole most of the chapter. And so I want to share with you, it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And just like the struggles in our life, in our country, in our town, in our families, right? Even in our church, we have struggles. And the struggles are real. They're real for us. And they're real just for God's people back here in Isaiah's time in Israel. And during Isaiah's lifetime, the dispirited nation of Israel, they suffered a period of great distress. They were oppressed by the Assyrian army over and over, being invaded and conquered. And if you read through Isaiah chapter 40, it contains promises. And this is what really, really renewed me when I started studying this. Promises of redemption and deliverance from these sufferings. The section of the book that starts with the words comfort. It says, comfort my people. And Israel had nearly given up, thinking that God had abandoned them, right? And that's happening right now today. With all the noise, the distractions, there's so much destruction, there's so much hate, there's so much division and animosity, there's so much indifferences in our country right now, and with even within Christians. And right now, Christians are really giving up. They're giving up into the devil's trap. They're giving up into this. And I read a story yesterday about the decline. The decline of Christianity is at a rapid pace, at an all-time high. Yet Isaiah teaches us, and he drives home this point that why do you say, O Jacob, so we'll be in 40:27, verse 31, she'll put it up there for us. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and may just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He understands. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And today, right now, in this country, and our struggles are real, just like they were for them. We see right now the devil, we see him just rampant, right? In our schools, in our churches, we see him in our communities, in our homes. We deal with homosexuality, right? Every day, pornography is rampant. The drug abuse in this country is at an all-time high. We have experienced division, even here in our church, right? A few years ago, we experienced that. So how do we battle and struggle and not grow weary? That's the question, right? How do we do that? How do we go through this every single day, day by day, and not grow weary? And it's right here in 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So my question was, why did God use an example of an eagle? In the most turbulent time in Israel's life, in the turbulent time in our life, why did he use an eagle? This is one of the things that we teach the kids next door is seek that out, learn, read, why. What is an eagle? What does he do? What is it about? In the ancient Hebrew, they revered eagles as mighty warriors. They would take their young, they would take them and move them away and keep them safe from predators. And when we lived in Alaska, I got to see eagles like never before. We studied them. I got to go to the zoo, and I got to see how majestic and how massive and how beautiful and amazing they are. And the Alaskan bald eagle is one of the biggest eagles in the world. It has a wingspan of up to 7.5 feet. It can weigh up to 14 pounds. And we'd be driving down the tourniquet arm. We'd be driving out, and these eagles would fly over our car and our truck as they're going down into the inlet because the tide would be out. And they would cast a shadow over our truck like a small airplane. They're huge, massive. And they'd just be down there. It's like a buffet for them. Any of the fish that got stuck, and there'd be thousands and thousands of them. Just a big buffet. As you can tell, I eat. Well, luckily the buffets are closed down. with COVID, and I hope they don't reopen because Buzz is going to help me. I promise. This is really, I got a sense of how massive and how amazing the eagle was. And the thing that I learned, one of the biggest, the main thing was that eagles love storms. Eagles are one of the only birds in the world that actually love storms. When all the other birds, you see them lately here, it's been super windy, right? You don't see any birds flying. When the winds kick up and the storms come, they kind of just fly all over. They hide. They go, they get in their nest. They don't fly around. But the eagles, they don't. They have the ability given to them by God to lock their wings, and they will use the wind of the storm. They use the storm, and they use the power of the storm, and it'll soar within just a matter of minutes. It's just soaring through. They use the pressure of the storm to glide higher and higher, and what's crazy is they do it without using any of their own energy, and that's what's amazing. A lot of times, Christians, right, we go to these storms in our lives, and we're so drained by the time we go through them, we have no energy left. We have no energy to fight because we're just worn out. And a lot of Christians today, they just quit. We see it over and over because it is a statistic that they're quitting and they're giving up and they're defeated. But not the eagle. The eagle has been documented that when huge storms come and all the other birds are gone, that they're out there waiting for it. They're flying straight into it. They will fly straight into a storm. And through all the turmoil and everything that's going up, they just soar right up, right to the top, right through the winds, and there's no danger for them there. And the last few days, I don't know about you, but the wind makes me angry and upset. I got trash all over my yard. My neighbor raked his yard. Now I got to go rake his yard out of my yard. It's terrible. Puts me in a bad mood, right? I hope I'm not the only one that gets in a bad mood, but I do. I don't like the wind. But the challenges in this life are going to be many. We are all going to face challenges. We're going to face storms, and we must face these storms to rise greater, to rise to greater heights. We have to face them. And I was able to teach a couple weeks ago on 1 Peter about hope, about going through this. The eagle, it doesn't escape the storm, okay? It doesn't escape the storm. We do not escape the storm, but they simply soar above it all. They go through it. The eagle rises on the winds that bring it in, and Christians being tested in these storms, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to every one of us. So why is God allowing us to go through these storms, right? In 1 Peter, it says it's because it's our benefit. Christ suffered on the cross for every single one of us, and it was for our benefit that he did that. Just like us suffering right now, that could be a blessing for somebody else. Your storm, what you're going through, what's happening right now, that could be a blessing for somebody else. And so one of the experts up there that we were listening to, they said the study that studies eagles, this is what blew my mind. They said they know when a storm is coming. They said before it is even visible, an eagle can sense the storm, and it comes in, and the eagle is already prepared for it. And this is what blew my mind. I was thinking, this is crazy. How are you prepared for your storm? And I was thinking, how do I get, the eagle is prepared for this storm coming. It already knows it's coming. And I got these storms coming in my life. I'm not prepared for them. How prepared are you right now for your storm? Well, the storm that's coming, are you ready? Are you standing firm with strength and courage? Or are you being weak and timid? Eagles have also been known to fly to a high spot. And this was really cool. I got to see this. They fly to these high spots in the mountains and on the trees, and they just wait. And they wait for the storm. And I just thought, man, that is amazing. That is so encouraging. That God's using this eagle and trying to teach us, and the eagles see they're waiting because he's prepared. He knows how to get through it. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We as Christians can only rise to greater heights if we take up the challenge that's at hand, and we are going to get challenged. When I taught on 1 Peter, man, it is coming for every single one of us. We see it every single day, If you read the news, like, I can't even watch the news anymore. It's driving me crazy. But we have to be ready, being prepared like an eagle, having the word hidden in our heart. We talked about that. What if our Bible disappears? We say it's never going to happen here, but it's happening in other places.